and devastating effect. Now, the reason I'm sharing this is because I want you to think of the spiritual connotation this has. Even a short drought could have a devastating effect. Why, Orchid asked. He explained that while we see the frequent rains as a benefit, during that time the plants are not required to push the roots down deeper in search of water. The roots remain near the surface. A drought would find the plants unprepared and quickly kill them. Some Christians receive abundant rains of worship, fellowship, teaching. Do you hear me? We receive an abundant rain of worship and fellowship and teaching. Yet, when stress enters their lives, many suddenly abandon God or think Him unfaithful. Their roots have never pushed much below the surface. Only roots grown deep into Jesus Christ, which is Colossians 2, 6, and 7, help us endure times of drought in our lives. So today, this sermon is really geared toward those who are believers, who come and they hear preaching. They're in a Sunday school class or a village. We have times of fellowship. We have awesome times of worship. But the roots just stay right below the surface. And that is a dangerous place to live. That's why our vision is to equip the church, engage the culture. You can only give out of what you've got. So if you are not filling your tank, it's going to run on empty, and you're going to come up short. And I don't want that for anyone here, nor do I want it for those who are yet to come here and receive Christ as their Savior and to grow in their relationship. We have got to put down roots so that when something devastating happens in our lives, we don't walk away from God. We run to Him because we know that He is our source of living water. Amen. And that we know that we can find rest and comfort in Him. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Jeremiah. We're going to read in the second chapter, verses 1 through 19. If you will, please stand with me for the reading of God's Word. Jeremiah is back there with Isaiah and Lamentations. I'll be reading out the New American Standard Version. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, go and proclaim in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, thus says the Lord, I remember concerning you the devotion of your youth, the love of your betrothals, your following after me in the wilderness, through a land not sown. Israel was holy to the Lord, the first of his harvest. All who ate of it became guilty. Evil came upon them, declares the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus says the Lord, what injustice did your fathers find in me, that they went far from me and walked after emptiness and became empty? They did not say, where is the Lord, who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, who led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and of pits, through a land of drought and of deep darkness, through a land that no one crossed and where no man dwelt. I brought you into the fruitful land to eat its fruit and its good things, but you came and defiled my land, and my inheritance you made an abomination. The priest did not say, where is the Lord? And those who handled the law did not know me. The rules are so transgressed against me. And the prophets prophesied by Baal and walked after things that did not profit. Therefore I will yet contend with you, declares the Lord, and with your sons' sons I will contend. For across to the coastlands of Kittim and sea, and send to Kedar and observe closely, and see if there has been such a thing as this. shudder, be very desolate, declares the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, to hew for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Is Israel a slave, or is he a homeborn servant? Why has he become a prey? The young lions have roared at him. They have roared loudly, and they have made his land a waste. His cities have been destroyed without inhabitants. Also, the men of Memphis and Tapentus have shaved the crown of your head. Have you not done this to yourselves by your forsaking the Lord your God when he led you in the way? But now what are you doing on the road to Egypt to drink the waters of the Nile? Or what are you doing on the road to Assyria to drink the waters of the Euphrates? Your own wickedness will correct you, and your apostasies will reprove you. Know, therefore, and see that it is evil and bitter for you to forsake the Lord your God. And the dread of me is not in you, declares the Lord God of hosts. Our dear Heavenly Father, we just ask that you open our minds and hearts and soul to your word. And Lord, we just pray that we hear something brand new from you today. And we ask this in your precious name. Amen. You may be seated. Today we're going to talk about the two evils of Israel and how they ended up turning from the one who could supply them with living water. We'll see the departure from God. First of all, we'll see their devotion to God, then their departure from God, and then their disloyalty. But before we do that, I just wanted to give you a little glimpse of Jeremiah the prophet, because not everybody may know who he is. According to the study notes in my Life Application Bible, here's what I found out about Jeremiah the prophet, his strengths and his accomplishments. He wrote two Old Testament books, Jeremiah and Lamentations. Is that the woe me book? Lamentations. Yeah, and Lamentations comes right after Jeremiah. He ministered during the reigns of the last five kings of Judah. He was a catalyst for the great spiritual reformation under King Josiah. Acted as God's faithful messenger in spite of many attempts on his life. Wonder how many of us would do that today. If we had an attempt on our life because we were sharing God's message, would we continue? It has a lot to do with putting those roots deep down into our Lord and Savior. He was so deeply sorrowful for the fallen condition of Judah that he earned the title the Weeping Prophet. Here are lessons from Jeremiah's life. The majority opinion is not necessarily God's will. Just because we may all be in agreement on something does not make it God's will. We need to find out what God's will is and become the majority that will follow his will. Although punishment for sin is severe, there is hope in God's mercy. And I know that just in my own personal devotional time and praying and seeking God's will, those two things go hand in hand together. We hear a lot about the love of Jesus, but we don't hear a lot about the alternative, which is hell. And folks, there's only two choices. You're either going to heaven or you're going to hell. There is no in between. And I just don't think, as pastors, we preach hell enough to know that you're not trying to scare someone to death, but you're letting them know the alternative if they don't turn to God. Serving God does not guarantee earthly security. Now that we know Jeremiah just a little better, I want to give you some background on our text today. In our text, Israel was guilty of two apostasies, the turning away from God and all they believed. It was all of a sudden like they had a brain freeze. deeper and deeper and deeper. So when that wind blows, it's not going to knock you over. You know, you're not going to say, where's God in all of this? You're going to say, God, I know you're in all of this. And I may not be able to see you now, but I know you're there and I want to see you. That's the difference between, we have those videos sometimes, Christian thoughts from a shallow Christian, or deep thoughts from a shallow Christian. An oxymoron there, deep, shallow, you can't be both, just in case no one ever got that, because, you know, I was just thinking about that. Deep and shallow, see, look, all right. That was just for you and I, Eric, just for us. But you can't be both. But you got to do something in your life. If you're not going to let everything throw you off kilter when it comes flying by, because it will fly by. You may lose a job, and you may not get one for a year and a half. That's tough. But you have to not make up your mind during it. What I want us to get to is that you're already there before it. So when those things happen, you're so grounded that it's not going to knock you off your feet. You're going to say, Lord, I don't understand. Lord, I need a job. It's not just I want a job, I need a job. But I know you're there. And if everything else goes by the wayside, my relationship with you is rock solid. I'm not going anywhere, and I know you're not going anywhere. Let's talk about devotion. God remembered a time when they, Israel, followed after him. In verses 1 through 3, hey, we read this. Go and proclaim in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, thus says the Lord, I remember concerning you the devotion of your youth, the love of your betrothal, your following after me in the wilderness, through a land not sown. Israel was holy to the Lord, the first of his harvest. First place in God's sight. That's a pretty neat place to be. They were there. He walked them through the wilderness. He provided everything that he could for them. They had to depend on him for food. He fed them when they were hungry. He gave them water to drink when they were thirsty. He protected them and he loved them. And we also know that that was a time when they were devoted to God. The study note in my Bible says the Hebrew word for this word devotion refers to the most intimate degree of loyalty, love, and faithfulness that can exist between an individual and the Lord. Let me read that again. The Hebrew word for this word devotion refers to the most intimate degree of loyalty, love, and faithfulness that can exist between an individual and the Lord. That must have been some intense feeling. And let me ask you, have you ever or do you now have those kinds of feelings for the Lord? You know, feelings, the loyalty, the faithfulness that they once had. You know, have you experienced that kind of faithfulness, the kind of love and faithfulness that will sustain you through life? It will give you that life-quenching water that you so long after. And if you've ever experienced this, you can understand just how deep their devotion was. I love how Skip Mullen puts this. He says, Jeremiah tells us that once in a desert, we desperately need God. Once we're there, we desperately need God. We were devoted to him because our eyes were not clouded by self-production. Not about me. We were in love with God, who took charge of our surroundings on our behalf. We just didn't get that warm feeling, the presence of the Lord, like Jeff, when they were coming out with holy ground. It's because as I walked in, I felt His presence. You have to be ready to feel His presence. Yeah. And as a church, we together have to be ready to feel His presence and to know His presence and to worship through His presence. That's how you stay close to Him. How sad that no one consulted the Lord. There is a price to pay for walking away from the Lord. For His word says that He will contend with them and their sons and their sons. There are consequences to our actions. And the same is true for us today. You may think you're only hurting yourself, but as we read, it could go on for generations. That makes you think about my own life. And maybe to make you think about your life. What are you doing that's going to affect your children and their children? Is it going to be a positive impact on them, or is it going to be a negative impact? The choices you make today, are your children and your grandchildren going to have to pay for it? Because the Bible says it goes on for generations. There are consequences. And let's not mistake the two. There is forgiveness. We remember your sin no more. God says that. But there are consequences to our actions. Sometimes when you give your life to Christ, He'll say, I want you, Glenn, to go back to that person that you wronged. And I want you to make it right. You got to do it. When you think about making a decision, you have to say, how's it going to impact me? How's it going to impact my children? How's it going to impact my grandchildren? And for us, we pray, how's it going to impact our church? There are consequences, and we just don't think about it. Let's talk about the two evils that Israel committed. It said in 13, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, to hew for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. The analogy here is God being the living water, an endless supply, where the cistern, it represented false gods. The cisterns were holding tanks for rainwater that came off the roof, and they had these places. And my dictionary of the Bible says that the cisterns were dug out of the soft limestone rock. And because of the porous nature of the limestone, however, these cisterns often cracked and broke. Holding tank. Living water. Let me ask you, which water would you rather drink? Let me show you. Here we have some water. I'm going to stir it up for you just in case. Would you rather drink this or this? Thank you. Yes. Honestly, right there. I wanted some comments. That's good. This has grass and mulch and coffee grounds and all of that in it. This is just pure water. This is God, living water. As clear as it can be. It doesn't get muddied up. Doesn't look murky. Doesn't have a bad smell to it. It's refreshing. And you need it every day to survive. Some of us could go without eating a few days and we'd be okay. But if we didn't drink for a few days, it'd start to wear on us. But I thought about the analogy and I thought about this. Here's God, living water. Here's us today thinking self-gratification, you know, worldly pleasures, all those false gods who say, you know what, you really want me. You really do. You know what? I can refresh you. It'll feel good. want the fresh, living water, that life-sustaining, pure water that God himself was offering. And they turned away from that. And the sad thing is, so many of us, the world looks good and we think, man, we're strong enough. You know what? If I just go do this one thing, it's okay. Because I'm a strong enough Christian. I can do it. That's the beginning of this sermon. The roots are just under the ground enough to take hold. But anything and everything can destroy it. It's not prepared. I want our church to be prepared for anything. And the church means people, not this place. People. We have to make that choice. Here's the bottom line. You can have the real thing, the one true God, the only one who can provide you with the life-sustaining water, or you can choose yourself a false God that provides you with absolutely nothing and die a slow, miserable death. As Jerry White said, no one is so empty as the one who has stopped walking with God and doesn't know it. Let me read that one more time. Is it up there? No. Yes, it is. No one is so empty as the one who has stopped walking with God and doesn't know it. Think about that. Then we move on to their disloyalty. In verses 17 and 18 it says, have you not done this to yourselves by forsaking the Lord your God when he led you in the way? But now, what are you doing on the road to Egypt? To drink the water of the Nile? Or on the road to Assyria? To drink the water of the Euphrates? In other words, instead of seeking the Lord, the life-giving water that he supplies, they turned to other alternatives. Had they gone so far that they would rather drink the water of the enemy than of God? How sad is that? Today, there are so many people out there drinking from a cistern instead of from a spring. to wipe